Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Thursdays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
I love hearing that, Jordan. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Jordan Hanalami.
And this is Back Talk.
Good to be back, sir.
Well, Jordan, it's great to see you. You've flown in to our little show here. And I tell you, Jordan, the movie we're doing today, I wish everybody had the video portion of this because then I'd do a smart aleck thing like this.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm doing a scissors across my mouth for people who aren't seeing the video. It's called Speak No Evil. Well, we'll probably speak a little bit of evil here.
We will. Yeah, a lot of speaking about it.
George, set it up for us.
So Speak No Evil, I guess, to start, as a remake of a Danish film from a couple years ago that was a big hit across indie horror. And then, this is a, I guess, somewhat Americanized version, American and British. It takes place in Europe, but is starring some American leads and European leads. But anyway, yeah, two couples that come across each other on a beautiful vacation spot in Italy, become, I guess, fast friends, and then one of the couples that we're focused on goes out to visit the other in their homeland, and some terrible things ensue.
A couple of things, first of all, but it's one of those things where everybody's trying to make friends. You know, I mean, we all would like to make friends, and here are new friends. And to me, it's also a story about how difficult it is to make lasting relationships, how difficult it is to capture new friends when you have somebody like James McAvoy acting like a bad boy. There's some things we have to give away here, George, so we can't.
Yeah,
talk
it's
about
difficult. There's a lot of there's a lot of different things going on from a storytelling standpoint. It's somewhat of a slow burn, which is intentional in terms of you getting slowly more and more uncomfortable as the story goes along.
They're a transplanted expat couple who have moved to London from here.
Yeah.
Got Americans over there who then accept the invitation from this exotic couple headed by McAvoy, and they have a place out in the West Country outside of London, a couple hours outside of London, and ask them to come visit.
Yep.
And mom, being a little sharper than dad, is reluctant. You know, just as you might have a couple, and Charlie might say, you know, Jordan, no, I don't think so. And then Jordan convinces her that we need to go. And so they go.
Everything's going to be fine.
I know, right? Listen, we don't have a horror film here unless they go.
Right. And it's like, they set it up well in terms of a couple that is, having some struggles, between each other and also personally for each of them themselves. So there's a lot of uncertainty between the relationship and between how they feel about their own situation with their job and things like that. So they're basically a bit upended, and this is an opportunity to kind of get away, and they've been excited by this couple, so maybe they'll learn something about a different perspective on life.
Yeah, and James Watkins is the director, mm-hmm. and he's also one of the writers. What I like the way they set this up, because they have this beautiful vacation in Tuscany, is where they meet the couples.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between them and their new couple, their new friends, headed by McAvoy, are just different from them.
Yep.
They just seem to be more exciting and living life. And so you can see the tension with the American couple. And then the Brit couple is so lively, you could see the draw. It's just kind of an envy that they don't have their energy or their eccentricity. And I think that does a very good job of that.
Yep.
And you know I don't like to do comparisons. That's why I don't even have you see the Danish version. The Danish version is different. The Danish version is Americanized. The couple in the Danish version is much more subdued than ours, if you can believe that. The couple headed by McAvoy is just much more dynamic, much more American in that way, much more in your face.
Yeah, they are. And really about the first two-thirds of the movie is, from a storytelling standpoint, is almost identical. And then the last third is
okay, so you've seen the Danish.
Oh, the Danish is one of my favorite movies few years.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry.
I love the Danish version. So it's, but it is polar opposite, you know, story from this one, you know, when they diverge from a storytelling standpoint. And this one's definitely, it's dark and it's has some, and obviously very intense, but is much more accessible for a regular audience, an American audience and stuff than that, because, I mean, even people that love dark horror, when they saw speaking the Danish version, were like,
yes.
Oh my God, I don't want to do anything for the next couple of days. Like, it's just so bleak and dark. And,
well, you're quite right. I had a friend who saw the Danish and he wouldn't see the American. He didn't think he could go through it again.
Yeah. Understandable. Understandable.
Now, I accept all that, but the Danish is really severe.
Very severe. You know, as you were making the reference and joke at the beginning with the scissors coming across mouth, that's an interesting thing about even the trailer, you know, showing that in the trailer. That was a huge reveal in the Danish version. That you know, the situation with that you didn't know was coming. It is way more intense.
I'll tell you,
in that version,
it's
which
one of my favorite topics, which is how much these trailers reveal.
Yep.
And I'm getting more and more revelations coming in trailers, and I'm going, oh my, you know, Keith and Lula won't see trailers because they don't want to have their experience spoiled. And I'm beginning to think there might be some truth to that.
Sure.
It's impossible for me to be sitting in that theater not to look at it.
Yep.
If I could, and I think I could now structure it so that I walk in when the movie's starting, that would be good, but I don't have that kind of control.
Right.
I want to get in there. I want to relax. You know, I want to have my popcorn. I want to do all these things. And so how can I not see this? But you're right. That's such a big reveal for that movie.
Yeah, it really is. And not that people are going to see it and know exactly how it works into the story. They won't. But they'll just the fact that it's a thing. It's a really nice example of seeing both movies. And then have your own opinion on, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it is nice that it diverges and has a totally different take on everything.
And I guess I'm happy about that because one of the reasons I avoid seeing an original is I don't want that to be what I'm constantly alluding to or even thinking about. And so you're right. The Danish version is so different in that last third. It's easy to separate the two.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just go see this as an Americanized horror film.
Yep.
It's pretty decent shot.
And really more of almost a thriller that's like it's not that there isn't anything horrific in it, but it plays a little more like a thriller, I think, than a horror film.
Yeah. Is there any thriller you can think of that this might be like? I thought of one, Straw Dogs.
Uh-huh.
And the kind of the reverse of Straw Dogs.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And which was one of really, I think, one of the finest ones ever made, particularly those of us, and you have your home.
And a movie that was remade as well.
Yeah, that's right. For those of us who own our homes, to have it invaded.
Yeah.
This is a real nightmare.
Yeah, it's almost like with them, their family is kind of invaded slowly by McAvoy and the situation and stuff. But it's, there's a lot to think about with it.
Robert De Niro doing Max Cady when I'm looking at McAvoy.
Yeah.
Going almost jarred over the top.
Yeah.
And bulking up.
Oh my God, he's huge. I heard an interview with him. He said it was just coincidence. He had his second child and he just wanted to start working out like crazy. And so he had some stuff from Glass and the workout person there and went to town. But he is like a superhero level of strength in this.
But
shows a lot of vulnerability from the character, which is a nice balance.
Yeah, that whole idea of the family unit being endangered is a really good one. In American movies, I find more and more of that. Even in our superhero films where our hero is looking to find his daughter or his wife, there's a constant struggle with that. It's not trying to find a pot of gold. It's just simply trying to get back with family. So this has been a very important motif in American film.
Yeah, and this one definitely, this version is definitely more that American sensibility, the family, like you're talking about, stuff like that. The Danish version feels a lot more metaphorical and a lot more about, not class structure, but about how us as human beings interact with one another and stuff. Like, they get to that some in this, but this feels more like financial motivations and things like that. The Danish version is a lot more layered in terms of some of that deeper level stuff, which is fine. You know, it's fine to have it or not have it in different ways.
So, Jordan, we're looking at the Americanized version of Speak No Evil.
Mm-hmm.
And this had the Danish version, which you both of us have seen. And I guess both of us recommend. I don't often recommend that you must see a companion piece or the original. But I think this is I think your point is really good. It's a fine exercise, and particularly one you can do with friends.
Yeah.
As you look at the differences between the two, and
yeah, you're right. It's definitely a fun movie to be able to compare and contrast with someone else, especially somebody that you have some sort of similar, you know, thoughts on movies and stuff, or depth, I guess. It's a fun movie to talk about.
Yeah. As we look at this, I think that we're easily able to appreciate the version we're talking about, Speak No Evil, which is in theaters now, able to appreciate without having seen the Danish version. But are there any other films besides, we mentioned Straw Dogs in our It's Movie Time segment, any other that comes to your mind? Doesn't even have to have the same plot. But when you're looking at durable thrillers, any come to your mind, maybe a fave of yours?
I don't know for sure. It's interesting because you when we were talking a little bit ago, I thought you made an interesting comparison to the with Straw Dogs and with just that in general, an idea of a home invasion.
Yes, yes.
Thriller, which is really interesting and something I hadn't thought about. But it's funny because it does feel like a home invasion thriller, but it's. The family that is doing the invading already lives at the house.
Great point.
It's just, but it does feel like that. You're right. And so it has that thrill and excitement, and it turns into a situation where they have put themselves, again, not to try to give away too much, don't want to, but just that they're in a situation where it does feel like the roles are reversed and they are being invaded upon. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff with that, with touch on a little bit the idea of different societal norms and what's comfortable with people. How much will you put up with, especially from someone you like, but is also making you uncomfortable? Like, where do you feel okay saying enough? And then obviously masculinity is a huge.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Expand on it just
stuff.
A little bit.
Like, just, and that's where McAvoy is really terrific in this, with both, as we talked about, just huge. I mean, physically huge.
Yeah.
But he's not trying to throw shade, but he's a shorter guy. He's not a large.
Yeah.
He's not like The Rock or something. That's 6'4" and jacked. He's a shorter guy, but also jacked in this, and imposing both physically, and his personality is very imposing. You meet him by him coming up and taking a chair at the pool, and it goes from there. But then he's also having these, as they do, they don't do in the original, but they do in this, giving you this feeling of, oh, he had father issues. This stuff comes from his childhood. They're giving a little bit of backstory.
Good, yes.
Not a lot of detail, but just a little bit of backstory,
yeah.
That kind of that Americanized version where they feel like they want to give you a little bit more about why he is the way he is.
Yes.
Which I don't recall being a part of the original.
But even then, we don't get that much.
Yeah, correct. But yeah, even just the hints at it and then that obviously ties into, is it, because you have these moments where you think he's maybe connecting with his son through his intensity, but things away, there's a whole lot of, come to learn a lot more about what is or isn't real about that.
George, you're reminding me, although the Americanized version is tepid compared with, but that last shot with the kid.
Oh, yeah,
and
for sure.
Boy, and it's just gruesome.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting, that felt to me a little bit like them trying to save the idea that because the original version is so dark and so twisted,
yes.
I think they felt like we have to do something to make you feel a little bit of like really uncomfortable violence and intensity. And it worked. It was you know, a good thing to do, but it definitely felt like we got to do something to to show that off.
And they don't show it. They cut away from it.
Yeah.
But it is really, the thought of it is really gruesome, but it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the parents watch while the kid does his stuff. This also, George, to me, exemplifies the mistakes that couples sometimes make in their decisions. And I mentioned in It's Movie Time the fact that the wife just feels maybe they shouldn't accept the invitation to go to the West Country. And Dad, who is essentially a milquetoast, and you know where that's going.
Yeah, for sure.
We're all watching him. We've been here before.
Right.
He's not going to be the milquetoast for long.
Yeah.
He convinces her, which is one of the first times that his arc is beginning to change a little bit. I mean, there's something a little bit more aggressive about him. He's not.
Yeah, it's interesting because it is, he convinces her, but more, it felt to me a little bit more like just kind of a whining, like she was interested, but also it was like, am I going to have to listen to him he's going to keep being dour and, you know, whiny and stuff if I don't try something. Yeah. So this is, and obviously, as you find out through some story stuff, she has tried some other things for her own personal benefit to try to make her life a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, you know, I missed that. You're right. I missed that. And we are told that there is some backstory then about her.
Yeah, some sort of a sexting relationship that has taken place.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you, because I had just kind of missed that.
Yeah, it's subtle. There's just some allusions to it, but it's just enough to let you know there is some trouble and that she is looking for something a little more exciting, something a little more just needed from her own standpoint. And I do, before I could say, I just have to take a quick second for anyone listening. Mackenzie Davis, who plays his wife in this, it was beautiful to see her because she stars in one of my favorite limited series of all time called Station 11 on HBO.
Oh,
so
really?
If you haven't seen that, watch that.
Yeah.
I beg of you, watch it. It's incredible.
I mentioned it to, they were nowhere away. I don't watch TV, but I don't know that, but she is good.
Yeah. She's a really great presence in this movie, is a balance between both the husbands. McAvoy's wife, you don't get a lot from. Like, there's not a lot of, I didn't feel like, it's like she's fine. You understand why they're together, but you don't get much.
She's
from
not
her.
A player.
Like,
in this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas the other lady in the Danish, I think, is more so.
Yeah, I think so.
That Danish is so underplayed and even more menacing
than this one
because of that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's interesting to see the things they focus on in this and don't, the bar scene when they go to the restaurant to like that isolated restaurant to have dinner. And the Danish one, that one's a lot more played out with them slow dancing and just a lot of like sexual tension and things going on with it. Yeah. That scene and the drive home is very uncomfortable. And there's some of that more slow burn going on leading you toward.
And we're doing what I didn't want to do, but I can see now. They're really two good films for that comparison contest.
Yeah.
I like that, and I like encouraging people to do that, even where ordinarily I don't. I've got another final film, Jordan, in case you also do. But this one, do you see any similarity with Wait Until Dark? Do you remember that with Audrey Hepburn?
Oh.
We're talking about Invasion.
Yeah.
Well, she's totally blind. She's blind.
I know what movie you're talking about, and I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, she's blind.
Yeah.
And her place is being invaded. I'm just thinking again of what you're stimulating me to think about all the times I love this idea of home invasion. This is where you get really close to an audience.
There's a movie called Hush that from recent years that is a favorite. That's a woman that's deaf and it lives in the woods, and her is dealing with a home invasion.
Yes,
that's really fascinating.
And wouldn't you think A Quiet Place?
Oh yeah.
Also has that idea.
Yep.
More and more, and think about it, boy, there are a lot of applications of this movie.
For sure.
So it's still playing.
Had a decent week. I think it came in second on the box office.
Yes.
Not a huge box office, but still for its size, like for its production, all that stuff, came in pretty well.
Yeah, it has a built-in audience for people who've seen the Danish film, an unforgettable film.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, we have people out there who are still waiting for the Oscar-worthy films to be coming. We're still at the end of the summer. Is this the kind of movie you can recommend to, well, whom can you recommend this movie to?
Obviously, it's not a movie for literally anyone, but anybody that wants something that is horror, that's a little more accessible, has some, you know, has a movie star performance within it with McAvoy.
Yes, right.
You know, is moving something a little darker, but still.
Western.
It's not as, I don't know. Super dour.
So teens, you know. Teens could enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's nothing too gruesome. It's called
Speak No Evil.